You know, there's this stereotyping, of course, you know, the immigrant that comes here to just use the services and not give anything back. And what we found when we started creating this economic data is that actually Latinos are driving growth, and that in the case of consumption, workforce, productivity, without Latinos, the growth of the country would have probably stopped. This is not only because the Latino community is productive, but also because as a developed country, there is a very low birth rate. And as all developed countries, there's always a need to invite people from outside to bring the workforce. And so that's the function that Latinos have been doing all the way up to 2008. Starting 2008, Latinos actually left the country more than came into the country. This was, you know, for a number of reasons, mainly politically here, it became much harder. And so starting actually just as a fact, starting 2008, the majority of immigrants in this country are not Latinos. They're Asian and they come from other places, but not from Latin America. And there are some, of course, but the sum of immigration going back and immigration coming in is negative. So all this to tell you that that's what we do. We are proud to partner with, you know, with a lot of different academic, you know, research partners like Stanford and UCLA, Columbia University, University of Notre Dame. And also on the private side, we partner with companies like Accenture, Bain Capital, you know, Boston Consulting Group, McKinsey, and others to create this data.
And Anna, as I'm listening to you and I'm listening to some of the things that you're saying, you talked about immigration and I think oftentimes I think about the fact that, you know, before there were different battles and wars fought over the country that we're in right now, it was all indigenous. It was all a native. So I think about people's place and in spaces, and I think that there is truly no space or place where Latinos are supposed to be. They are.
Yeah. Exactly. You're absolutely right. And actually, as you know, we Latinos, most of us, of course, there are Latinos that are completely white. There are Latinos that are fully African Americans. But I would say the 95% of Latinos are a mix. We are a mix of indigenous with Spaniards, right? Because that's how politically the conquest went. So yes, I mean, if you think, if you go back in history, the Western states were, I don't want to say Mexico yet, because, you know, some of them were already independent. Some of them were still part of New Spain, but, you know, states like New Mexico, and then of course the Spanish, names like Colorado and Nevada and Montana and Arizona and California. I mean, all those states were actually Latino before they actually became the United States when that war happened. So yes, you're absolutely right. I'm going to give you the example again. I am an immigrant, but my husband's family is traced back to 1570 in the area of New Mexico. And they were a mix of Spaniards that were kind of poor, and that's why they got the most non-agriculture or also non-mineral rich land, which was New Mexico, and then mixed with indigenous people. And so that's most of the people in New Mexico, that's who they are.
And, you know, I love that we talk a little bit. I love to talk about the historical contexts and how they bring us to where we are today, because I, like I said, I think about that all the time. And I say, you know, there is no such thing as this is not your land or get out of this country. This is and has always been a part of their country, a part of your Latinos' country.
Right.
So it's like the idea, once again, that you're not supposed to be here, or the lack of representation, it's mind-boggling. So
Thank you for knowing that, because unfortunately, not all Americans know that.
And once again, it's the history of it all. It's important to know. I just don't understand where that lack of connection, of course, is the history telling. If you can, talk a little bit about how the LDRC has been working to bring in that history, too.
So we have, until today, we've done 47 reports. And, you know, some of them, most of them are about the economics. And let me tell you why we went to the economics, because there were several other organizations already creating data about social justice and, you know, different elements within the Latino community, but there was nobody creating reports about the economic aspect of it. So So that's why we decided to, you know, to start to do this. And then you were asking me about, you know, if we actually touch on history. In every report, we try to touch on it. It's a little bit of a background, exactly what you said. Thank you, by the way. Exactly what you said, that, you know, we have been here in this country for the longest time. We constantly talk about what I just told you, the Statesville, the cities and the ranches and, you know, so the streets and the cities. If you come to this side of the country, everything is in Spanish, everything from, you know, from the fruit names and the, you know, the streets that we take every day to go to work. And funny enough, and I'm going to be kind of a little blunt here, but white Americans don't seem to process. And it's strange because when you go to work through Sepulveda Boulevard and turn left on La Cienega Boulevard and then turn right on Pico, I don't know why they wouldn't understand what that is, but yeah, most people don't know. And so we insert a little bit of history in every one of our reports.
You talk about the negative stereotyping as well. So not only is there not much representation, but the representation that is on television is negative.
Exactly. And, you know, I don't know if you saw this, but we did a case study and we literally measured the very few shows that have Latino leads. So half of them, 50% of them were negative. And even though they are, you know, technically claimed and as one of the best shows, for example, Mayans MC, it's true, is, you know, high budget, very well done, amazing camera. But it's a gang. It's a Latino gang that kills and steals, right? Or Narcos, which was another very, very successful show. Again, all the story of the horrible parts of Latin America and drugs, right? You have Queen of the South, a very empowered lady that kills to live. And so that's half of it. And then the other one, so again, if you go, it's 2.6 total. So 1.3 is negative stereotypes. And then the interesting part is this, that the other 1.3 is positive. And guess what? It shines and it crosses over and it becomes the top content of every one of those outlets. And I'm going to give you examples, but this makes it even more mind-boggling, because if the very few times that they have positive portrayals of Latinos in lead roles, they kill and they succeed wildly, we don't understand why they're not doing it. I'm going to give you some examples. So for Netflix, Wednesday. For HBO Max, The Last of Us. As you know, Wednesday's lead was Jenna Ortega. The Last of Us is Pedro Pascal. And those two were the two highest, most viewed shows worldwide for those two platforms, for HBO Max and for Netflix. You have shows like Andor on Disney, or right now ABC, the leading, actually it's not only on ABC, it is on ABC, the show, but the leading breakout show in the industry is Will Trent with a Latino lead for ABC. So if when they are portrayed and when they are hired, they kill, we don't understand why they're not having more.
So how do we start? Of course, you know, we have to bring in different Hollywood people. We have to make sure that we have Latinos who are directors and producers and PAs and people behind the scene, camera operators, and so many different positions that we have to start. Hollywood has to start hiring in. And which way, how do we start?
That's a really, really, really good point. And I have several ideas for you. One of the things that we minorities in general suffer is they constantly hearing, you know, when we pitch something, we constantly hear there is no Latino talent or there is no African-American talent. And guess what? Because our report is a census, we actually have built a database of Latinos that have some way or the other worked for a big studio or a big broadcast company. And we have more than 3,500 names. So when they say there is no talent, we go back to the numbers. And the numbers say that 80% of all the cast comes from three agencies. And you know which those agencies are in Hollywood. Those three agencies don't have one single Latino executive that can greenlight a show. So there is talent. The problem is that the gatekeepers are not letting them in. So first of all, talking or making sense with the gatekeepers saying, you're missing the boat. You're leaving money on the table. Imagine if you had three Andors or three Wakandas or 20, you know, The Last of Us and The Mandalorians. You are leaving money on the table because Latino stories and Latino content has proven to cross over. I don't know if you saw the list of the top films and shows most streamed in all, this was Nielsen, in all the year of 2022 in every platform. Number one was Encanto. Number two, so there were three or four or five Latinos, including Wednesday, et cetera. But number 18 was Coco. Coco is 7 years old, and people are still watching it. And that's not Latinos only. That is everybody. So we go to Hollywood and we say, you're leaving money on the table. You need a change. The general market has changed. It doesn't look like it looked when you were young. And it will catch up before you can even think about it if you don't make a change today. So that's one. The other one is, again, providing the database that shows that there is talent. Our database is made out of actress, actors, directors, and writers and showrunners. And so there is talent out there. Third is hire more than 2.6% because you need to give Latinos a chance for a learning curve, right? You need to allow them to fail because that's the way you get the Spielbergs and that's the way you get on the Latino side. That's the way you get the González Iñárritus and the Cuarons who won the Oscar, right? They failed 15 times and they didn't fail here. They failed in their countries back in Latin America. And the United States hires them when they are already grown up. And that's another thing. And I'm giving you maybe too many solutions. But even though I am an immigrant and I was born and raised in Mexico, I do realize that Mexicans, Argentinians, Salvadorians, Colombians, Chileans don't have the experiences of being a U.S. Latino. The same as, you know, and a German couldn't understand Trump and an Irish couldn't understand Biden. The same, you know, it's this, the talent that sometimes comes to this country when they have succeeded in their countries don't understand the American experience. And so in order to reflect the American experience, we need Latinos that were born and raised here, or at least that understand it because they've been here long enough.